Okay, good morning and welcome to the service this morning in this new year, 2021. Our reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 to 18. Treasure in clay jars. Now we have this treasure in clay jars so that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry the death of Jesus in our body, so that the life of Jesus may also be displayed in our body. For we who live also be displayed. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that Jesus' life may also be displayed in our mortal flesh. So then, death is at work in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith in keeping with what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. For we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you. Indeed, everything is for your benefit, so that as grace extends through more and more people, it may cause thanksgiving to increase the glory of God. Therefore, we do not give up. Even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. So, we do not focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Thank the Lord for his word this morning. The new normal. As we enter the new year in a new decade, there is much talk about the new normal of life under the spectre of the global pandemic, but also future technological developments that will become the new normal. So this morning, I want to take you back to the future. And perhaps you'll remember this program, Star Trek, the original series. What was then a very futuristic scenario to us, which has become much more commonplace today. The flip communicator. Boop, boop. Now we have mobile phones with folding screens, and that allow us to do many more things than just talk to one another. Lieutenant Uhuru's earpiece, which should communicate across the galaxies. And nearly everybody, especially the teenagers at school, and no doubt many Christmas presents this year, are earbuds for their iPads or iPhones. Dr. McCoy would rush his patients to the medical center and wave some magic device across them, which would beep and buzz. And on the screens above him, he'd see all the readouts for all their issues and problems and be able to give an instant diagnosis. This is known as in silico medicine, and this is now actually a reality. With extremely sensitive magnetic field instruments, diamond nitrogen vacancy sensor scanners, they're called, combined with computer algorithms, are giving medics new insights into the workings of the brain and the body of individual patients. Effectively, the computer will make a virtual version of you from what it scanned, and from this, the doctor will be able to bring about a diagnosis with no invasive surgery. McCoy would also heal people instantly, not with that football magic sponge, but with his hydro spray. Today, UK biotech companies, just in the news this week, have developed a microneedle injector, which will be used for the COVID vaccine. And there are other developments in place where a small patch with hundreds, if not thousands, of small microneedles can be just put on your skin and it will inject the medication. It's pain-free, non-invasive, and the result is there's better uptake. Do you remember the tricorder in which Spock, on whichever newly planet they'd landed upon, which they'd been, of course, transported to, we haven't quite got there yet, he would use the tricorder to establish the environment in which the team had just landed in. Many experts now say we're on the verge of the second quantum revolution, especially in terms of quantum computing and sensors. Energy quantization gives us modern-day electronics. First, the transistor, for those of you who are a little older, and then laser technology, and now quantum computing. Our newfound ability to manipulate individual atoms and electrons has brought us this technology. Geoscientists, for example, are using these sensors to monitor volcanic activity deep in the Earth's surface, or gauge water resources by measuring the extent of aquifers. And energy companies use the sensors to supplement their seismic surveys by measuring variations in gravity over wide areas to look for oil and gas. Then there was the phaser, which could be set to disintegrate, kill, heat, or even just stun. And today, we already have versions of that with laser non-lethal weapons in service, and work is going on to produce disintegrating versions as part of anti-drone and ballistic missile defense. The new normal. Other developments in place. The ability to take carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and combine it with solar energy to produce materials from that raw material. Green hydrogen, which will just use water. The electric aircraft. Low carbon concrete. Apparently, we use enough concrete to cover the whole of EU and China. I didn't realize this. This is some of my research recently. All of these are technologies that are developing and emerging at the moment. And people are putting a lot of hope and faith into them. But do not boast about tomorrow. Many predictions of the future fail spectacularly. What should we be thinking as Christians about our future? Unlike human aspirations, God's plans for us are certainly certain. You'll remember Chamberlain in 1938, peace in our time. 12 months later, we were at war. And while we are cautioned to do not boast about tomorrow, for we do not know what a day may bring, we read in Proverbs. And just this morning, as I was traveling to church, I was passed by an ambulance, and it made me think exactly about this. The person in that ambulance, they weren't expecting to be in that ambulance today. Who's woken up this morning to find out they're redundant, perhaps, or have been hit by some of the economic downturn? Our omniscient King has no such limitations. He says of himself, "I am God, and there is none like me," declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose," we read in Isaiah chapter 46. And as we've heard many times this Christmas season, that purpose is to reconcile us to him, to give us true peace. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and the name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and evermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." God is sovereign over nations and rulers, we read in Chronicles. "For the Lord has established his throne and in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all," the psalmist says. What is true of nations is also true of you and me. No creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him whom we must give account, Hebrews tells us. He sees our present and he knows our future. David, the psalmist, again wrote, "Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether." So what is that glory that is to be revealed to us? What is our omniscient Father's plan for us, for our future? Jesus came that they may have life and have it abundantly, John wrote, not just in heaven, but on earth as well. That might not sound realistic at the moment, with all the restrictions on our lives because of COVID-19, the global and political economic woes, or the creeping ultra-liberal agenda that seeks to hem us in through attacks on the freedoms of speech, thought and religious expression. But our Lord promises that those who love the Lord God, all things work together for good. Not all things are good. Remember, Jesus was pain-racked with tears in the Garden of Gethsemane, and there was a cry of anguish from the cross. But that God redeems all things for a greater good than we can imagine. "For now, we see in a mirror dimly," Paul said, "but then to face to face. And as a result, now I know in part that I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. In the meantime, we can know that the Lord is working to accomplish his good and acceptable and perfect will in our lives and our world. And we can celebrate the fact that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to compare in the glory that is to be revealed in us." Thanksgiving for today. How can hope in God's future empower us to give thanksgiving now in the present? We can give thanks in all circumstances, we read in Thessalonians 5. Knowing that God is redeeming even the worst parts of life for a good that outweighs their pain. We can, in Philippians chapter 4, with thanksgiving let our requests be known to God, knowing that our Father will give us what we ask or what is best for us. And again, in the Psalms, we can read that we can enter his gates with thanksgiving, knowing that gratitude for what God will do positions us to receive all that grace he intends to give. The grace that was first bestowed upon the cross by his Son, Jesus Christ, his greatest gift. So how can we act out that thanksgiving now in the present? In one of his most famous statements, C.S. Lewis observed in Mere Christianity, "If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. The apostles themselves, who set on foot the conversion of the Roman Empire, the great men who built up the church in the Middle Ages, the English evangelicals who abolished the slave trade, all left their mark on earth, precisely because their minds were occupied with heaven." Lewis added, "It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this. Aim at heaven, and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth, and you will get neither. At which world are you and I aiming today? What can we do in the present with those most immediate to us to see revealed the future that God has planned? So we do not focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.